Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be up here sharing, and I have to tell you that when we had our creative team, and TJ prepped me, he's like, I think I've got the best bumper to illustrate what it's like to live in the Kelly house. And then we watched that. I was like, you are right. You nailed it for sure. I am so excited to be here on Mother's Day to share with you guys. And it's actually something that I always like to tell people. That video kind of illustrates that, is that we are real people. Today, I am just a mom up here talking to you about how I've invited God into areas of my life, and he's moved. So I want you to know that. Here at Wellspring, my husband and I are always very upfront that we're just authentic, real people who love Jesus and want you to come along for the ride. So again, thank you so much for being here today and listening to me ramble, right? Because I tell everybody, I do get nervous because I don't do this every week. But I have to say something today that I've discovered as I've been a part of this whole service is, man, I just love my church. I love you guys. I love this place. I really do drive here 6 days a week and say, I can't believe we get to do this. So thank y'all so much for being a part of this. And it's really true. And I know that we've grown a lot in the last year. So many of you might not even know who our boys are. We have three sons. This is David, John, and Jacob. And I thought I'd show you a little of their personalities instead of just a perfect posing picture, because I don't get any of those ever with my children. And David is 10, and this is John, he's 8, and Jacob is 5. And ironically enough, if you see them running through the lobby or the halls of Wellspring, they probably don't have their shoes on. I don't know. I don't know why they do that, but they take their shoes off, and they'll be playing an imaginary game of baseball, soccer, or arresting pretend criminals, which is Jacob's big thing, or he'll give you a ticket. He carries around a little pad, and he will give you a ticket. So, you know, it's such an honor, truly, to be their mother, and it's awesome. I had a friend who left me a little card backstage, and she said, happy best job in the world day, and I was like, man, you nailed it. You nailed it. It is such an honor to be a mom. I'm so thankful that God called me to do that. And if you're a mom in the room today, I hope you feel honored here today. And if you are not a parent in the room, I'd still hope today's message speaks to you. I had somebody call me aside after first service and say that it did. So I pray that you can just kind of sit back and listen and apply it to the areas of your life where God would want to move. Because I do take most of my hardest learned lessons in life through motherhood, marriage and motherhood. Sorry, I love you, baby. You're in the front line today. You're going to get it. Haven't you ever heard of a joke? He does that to me every week if you're a guest, almost every week. He'll say something and, you know, we love each other. It's the way it works. So, but I have to kind of give a caveat that I have exactly one decade of parenting wisdom to bring into this message today. So depending on where you are in this journey, you're either like, man, that seems like it is so long, far away, or you're like, man, she is a rookie in this game. I don't know what she thinks she's going to say today that can make a difference. And here's what I think. I think that no matter what, if it's I'm 30 years into parenting, I am going to feel like I'm still a rookie. Because it's a process. It's a partnership. It's a partnership where you invite God in and that you are coming alongside your children to point them to him. So I need you to know that I have one decade of experience, and nothing could point to that more than the fact that I tried to start writing this message on the second day of spring break. You know, the day that they are already completely bored. They're fighting over who gets the remote and who gets the best spoon for their cereal. You know, or who gets to sit on mommy's lap. And here's the thing, when you're outnumbered, there's like only two sides, you know. So it's our oldest, sadly, has already moved on from that. He just gives up and lets his brothers do it. But, you know, they start fighting. They're fighting over everything. I'm standing in the kitchen, and I'm thinking, I have a message to write today. I have to start writing this. And this is a big deal. I only teach like one time a year by myself. I'm usually up here with my husband because he's an amazing communicator. So if it's your first time here, come back. I promise next week will be better. but I really wanted to bring my best. So I started feeling immediately, I mean, not even the first half cup of coffee is in my veins. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? I either just wanted my children to disappear or everything else to disappear. Right? It was this struggle immediately when I woke up that day, this struggle of, oh my gosh, I have so much to juggle today. That is something that I am constantly dealing with in my life, is the struggle of the juggle. The struggle of, God, what am I supposed to be doing? What do you want me to do? What do they need? What does he need? What does everyone else in the world think I should be doing? This struggle is something I deal with a lot. And I kind of guess, especially because some of you I follow on social media, you probably feel the same way. No matter where you are in the phase of life, there is something that you are struggling with that causes you to feel like you can't get it all done. And what happens to me when I get to the very bottom of that spiral, of that juggle, and I'm seriously standing in my kitchen thinking, and I actually think I yelled at my kids and I said, I'm going to send you to any school who will take you. You're not going to have a spring break. Because when I'm in that struggle, I start to feel really stuck. And I live there. That struggle at the bottom, I feel stuck and I just live there. And here's what I want to do today. I hope that I can give you permission by saying that I struggle, that it's okay to struggle. We all do. Because really, the struggle is real. It's true. I've seen people hashtag it. Most of the time, it's my laundry with just that underneath it, right? The struggle is real. But that's okay. I think it's great, actually. I love the way my husband will challenge me. He'll say, tell me what you're thinking. Name it. I want you to say it out loud. What is it that's bothering you? What is it that has you feeling stuck? And I can just say, I am struggling. What I really feel like God's been teaching me in this past year, especially, is that it's okay to say you're struggling. It's just not okay to live there. You just can't live in that place where you're stuck. And more importantly, you cannot define yourself in that place. I cannot even begin to tell you how many years I've spent defining myself by the very worst moments of my day. And that will do a lot of damage. And it takes your focus straight off of the God of the universe who wants to partner with you and puts it straight on your struggles. And the struggle is real. It's true. But when I'm only thinking about the struggle, I forget the truth that the struggle is real, but so is Jesus. And he's bigger and he's stronger. In fact, I think we should hashtag that, Mom, so you can remember it, because you know we're only going to remember like a pop from today because your brain is so overloaded. We can hashtag the struggle is real, but so is Jesus. So the next time you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm stuck, I can't do this, I'm struggling with everything I have to juggle, I can't do any of this, that's okay, the struggle is real, but so is Jesus. I can remember that. And remember, I'm in that with you. That's what I want you to know today. I'm in that with you. We all are. So we're going to cling to this. The struggle is real, but so is Jesus. I still bring myself back to that place where in that moment, I just feel stuck. And I can recognize that truth, but it doesn't give me any direction to go. And that stuck feeling is what can kind of suffocate me sometimes. Dare I say that in the past, it's led to bouts of small depression from feeling like I was always stuck and not knowing where to go. And when you're stuck, sometimes it's hard to see, but I don't think we're necessarily stuck. We're just being made to be still, because sometimes we have to get stuck to be still. Being still is not something I do on my own. I admit to drink coffee a whole lot so that I can't, because I can't be still, right? I don't have the luxury to just say, okay, I'm just going to sit here. Y'all are going to be quiet, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. God, I'm going to talk to you. No, they're still jumping around, peeing. We don't have plants because I can't keep anything alive. But you get the picture of what's happening around me whenever I feel like I need to take that moment to be still. But when I change my perspective and I feel that stuck, I can remind myself, I'm not stuck. I'm just still. Because it points me. If you've been in church, you know where I'm going. And if you have it, I'm going to teach you the easiest, simplest verse to remember so that you can change your perspective whenever you start to feel stuck. And it's Psalm 46:10. To be still and know that I am God. When you're stuck, you're really just being made to be still and remember that you are His and He is yours. And also for me, a lot of times what I'll remind myself is He's God and I'm not. I'm not having to do this on my own. God, you are with me. I'm not stuck. I'm still. And you're going to join me in this place. And I love the freedom that that perspective change really does give me. I'm not stuck. I'm still. So that I can pause long enough to invite the God of the universe to work in my life. You're not stuck. You're being still. You're being forced to be still so that you can recognize His hand in your life. In fact, I used to teach kindergarten, so can y'all entertain me for just a second? This is how I would make sure they always knew what point I got across to them, as I would have them say it. So I really do. I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to say, you're not stuck, you're still. Go ahead, do it. And then whenever your kids go to school on Monday, you can thank their kindergarten teachers for the work they do in their life, because it really does make a difference. But we're not. We're simply stopped long enough to let the God of the universe enter that moment and join us. Because a lot of times when I'm in that place, all I can think about is my weakness. But when I recognize my weakness, I remember God's strength. Gosh, what a mighty God we serve. And when we're still long enough, we can remember His strength that is there with us in the moment. And it's so funny. It always brings this verse to mind for me. And I think I've taught a total of 3 Mother's Day, and I've used it every year because it starts with grace, and mamas need a lot of grace. So this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he tells us, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When I remember my weakness, when I see it, when I recognize my weakness, I'm going to remember God's strength, and I'm going to remember His grace is enough. And if you want to hear some great content on grace, go back and listen to my husband's messages that he just finished a series on Amazing Grace. And it was amazing. But God's grace, we are enough in that moment in His strength. He is with us when we are weak. And I've always kind of concentrated on that first part of the verse. But man, this year, God began to use the second part of that verse to just turn my life upside down. Because it says next, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. The next time you feel stuck, remind yourself you're still. And then remind yourself that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead rests on you. And it rests on me. And that we don't have to stay in that place. We're going to take that promise. We're going to take that truth. That power rests on us, and we are going to step out diligently in what God's called us to do. We're not going to stay in that place. We are going to step out and say, God, I know your power rests on me, and I'm ready to do this with you. Because there was a season of my life where at 5 o'clock every single day, I locked myself in the bathroom. I was done adulting for the day, and I was living in the place of being stuck. And here's what I would do. I would go to the bathroom. I know, right? I'm like spilling it all. I told you we're real. Making sure they wouldn't like really hurt each other. You know, like when you're a mom, it's like, okay, are you bleeding or are you like gushing? You know, there's 2 differences. Like I'm making sure that whatever condition I let, they would just bleed a little, not gushing. So anyway, I would lock myself in the bathroom because I was completely done adulting for the day. I couldn't do it anymore. But I would go in there and I would say, all right, you can do this. You can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you can go do this. And then this past year, when I realized that I couldn't escape that stuck, struggling feeling anymore, and God reminded me that I was just being forced to be still, and His power rests on me. God, I'm not doing this. We are. Let's go do this. I'm doing this in your strength. And then we would start Operation Night Night at 6:30 p.m. at our house, because that was all the power I had left with me. Even the Holy Spirit can't always fill it till like 8 o'clock. I mean, No, he can, but I'm just saying it's a struggle because the struggle is real, right? But I hope that that empowers you today. When I teach a Mother's Day message, I always like to make sure that whoever I'm speaking to, they feel encouraged and empowered. I don't want us to walk out of here without recognizing the fact that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead rests on you, and you can do what he's called you to do. Because guess what? I also know that God does not allow us to use our weaknesses as an excuse to not do what he's called us to do. We can't do that. We are missing out. You'll miss out on your purpose if you're doing that. Your weakness is meant to be a gift to show you his strength so that you can rely on his power. And man, when you get to a place, where you're constantly living in that, it will light you on fire for whatever purpose God put you, whatever purpose God has for you in your life. And as a mom, that's a pretty high calling. And we want to make sure that we're doing that with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus resting on us. Thank you. Trey told me before I got up here just now, he's like, you know what? God won't let you preach a message you don't live. And I'm like, well, maybe that's why I struggled so much first hour. But I do really try. I really do try to do this in our life. And one of the areas that really I struggled with the most this past year was the juggle. Kind of what I talked about, how I was standing in the kitchen there that first day of spring break, and I'm like, I can't do everything I'm supposed to do today. I can't, God. And if you kind of join me in that today, I want you to kind of know what I do when I get to that place where I'm like, all right, I get it. Your power rests on me. Now, what do I do? Right? Like, I need an audible voice here, God. I need you to, like, tell me exactly what to do. And I started doing this thing where I would do, it's fancy. It's real complicated, but I really would stop in the moment and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I need you to tell me. And if I'm still, I can gain some clarity. But I also really did start looking to people who are ahead of me in the game. I love to talk to moms who are ahead of me in the game. I love to talk to leaders who are ahead of us in the game in the church world. When January hit and we had way overloaded our schedule this year, I was desperate. So I started listening to podcasts on time and management and all that kind of good stuff. And Andy Stanley has a quote that I absolutely love. I wanted to share with you today because I really hope that you can take it. And this will give you some legs to what I'm talking about whenever I'm saying that Jesus' power rests on us. Okay, what do we do? God, what do we do? If we know this, we've called to this, this is our purpose, what are we going to do? And this is what I often go back to, is that I can only do what only I can do. And what that means is that there are a lot of people who can do some things, but there's only a few things that only you can do. And that's what we should be spending most of our time on. That should be what we're running towards, right? Because if we're stuck thinking that we have to do everything, then we're going to get bogged down and we're going to start to feel that juggle, and that struggle is going to stay there. And we can keep asking God to join us in that moment. But I want to take the power he gives me and I want to step into it and only do what only I can do. And I hope that gives you some clarity today. And I kind of wanted to tell you how I do that. I kind of had to make a list for myself because I needed to be able to recall that in the moments of, okay, I have a choice of 10 things right here. You know, it's like, okay, what am I going to shoot for? Which fire is going to get the super soaker first, all right? And when I have that in front of me and I'm stuck and I'm trying to be still, all right, God, what am I going to do? For me, my list is only I can determine what my relationship with God looks like. That's the number one thing for me. My closeness and bringing him into those moments depends on my ability, my willing to do that, my time spent with him. I like to do preemptive prayers. I know if there is a season coming up where we tend to argue more in our marriage than we do in other times of the year, mostly when our juggle gets really bad and we don't see each other and all that kind of stuff, I try to preemptively pray, God, I know today is going to be a long day. Help me to have grace in Trey's life. Preemptive prayers. So only I can determine what my relationship with God looks like. Only I can be Trey's wife. I sometimes want to take, like, interviews. If you're looking, no, I'm just kidding. Haven't you ever heard of a joke? I love you, baby. You know that's not true at all. It's not true at all. He is an amazing man. Please hear me. Please hear my heart that I am totally kidding. Yes, he is. I am so thankful. I am so thankful to be his wife. He teaches me and leads me, and I am so thankful for that. You know, I'm just joking. I needed a little comic relief, or I'll get stuck. So it was for me. Thank you for your sacrifice. I know that only I can determine what my relationship with God looks like. Only I can be his wife. Only I can be a mom to John, David, and Jacob. And only I can play my role in God's story, what he has purposed my life for. Part of that is being a wife and a mom. It's also a part of what I do here, and playing my role in God's story. So what are the things that only you can do? Next time you feel yourself stuck, remind yourself you're still. Remind yourself that God's power rests on you, and you're going to ask him what you want him to do. What are the only things that you can do in your life? And help clarifying that really did, point me to a place where I kind of get some clarity in that moment, put out the right fires and let the rest fall away. It means I say no to a lot of things and yes to a few things that really matter, which is a hard habit to break, but it's possible because God's power rests on you and he wants to lead you. But there's one area of that list I talked about that really does seem to trip me up the most. And I kind of wanted to end my message today as a little bit for moms, because I really get hung up sometimes on the fact that I can only be, I'm the only mom for John, David, and Jacob. I'm the only mom they're going to get. And so I need to do it perfectly. And I need to create the most perfect environment for the most perfect kids to be raised and do it all. And it will really start to weigh on me that I need to be that way, which leads me to a struggle, and it leads me to a lot to juggle. And if I'm being honest, a lot of stuff that I don't need to be juggling. Because my goal, my end goal in parenting isn't to raise kids who have never experienced pain or experienced a heartbreak or experienced failure. My end goal in parenting is to raise independent children who love God and love others. And I want to ask you today, thank you, I want to ask you today, do you have an end goal in your parenting? I kind of want to empower you and challenge you to think about that. We talk about this a lot. What are our 10-year goals? You know, we want to raise independent children who love God and who love others. And guess what that means we have to do? We have to teach them to be independent. A lot of times when I'm struggling, it's because I'm juggling stuff that those three little monkeys could be doing. It's true. I want to so bad be the mom who has it all perfectly set up for them. And they're like, oh, you're the best, you know? But I have a friend, an awesome friend, who's ahead of me in this game of parenting. And her kids are in college, and she shared this wisdom with me one time. And she said, you know what? We have to put their needs ahead of our wants. We have to put their needs ahead of our wants. And if you have a newborn, you're thinking, that's all I do. I just want a shower, but they need me, right? They need me. I can't do that. But as they get older, we have to continue to put their needs ahead of our wants. And what they need is to be independent. They need to grow up to be independent people who love God and love others. I love that Trey read that verse today, that Jesus' greatest command is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It didn't say with all your mama's heart, all your mama's soul, and all your mama's mind. We need to teach them to be independent people. And it means we have to put their needs ahead of our wants. I want to lay down with my children, especially when they were little and I knew they'd wake up the next day a whole day older. I want to lay with them for hours at night. But they need sleep, and so do I. So I had to start putting their needs ahead of my wants, right? Just little examples. A big one that's come out to play for us here in these last couple of weeks and months as David is getting older, I'm going to challenge you. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, but I hope it will encourage you, and it'll also give you some points to take to people you may know. But they need to be here. they need to be in church just as much as you do. We work so hard to create an environment where this is their circle, where they are getting to know people who love God, and that they know this is going to be the people that they let influence their life. They need to be here just as much as you do. And I know you may want to have days where you just go to the beach, which I am so proud of y'all. It is a gorgeous day, and you are here. I clap for yourselves. Seriously. But you have to put their needs ahead of your wants. And I know if you have small children or if your children are busy, if things are competing with your weekends, remind yourself what they're going to need 20 years down the road versus what they want right now. We tell David all the time right now, he's seeing a big difference in his friends, just in how they treat each other in different circles. As he's getting older, he's becoming more aware. And we can always point back to, well, does this friend from a church, do they treat you that way? Do you think that can be an example for you? You know, and that's someone that you go to and you trust. So I want to keep challenging to do that. Keep up the good work, even when you don't want to. You know, one of my favorite, I'm going to talk about Camille here for a second. She's one of my favorite students, and she was babysitting for us. That was a couple years ago. And she was probably only like 12 at the time. And I was driving home. It was probably nighttime, I think. I was taking her home, and she's like, yeah, when I get home, I'm going to do laundry. I went, to what? Why are you leaving my house? Like, let's go back, you know? Her parents knew what she needed more than what they wanted. I know her mom loves her with all her heart, and she probably wants to set it up so that she never has to work and do anything, but she knows that she needs to be independent one day and be able to do that on her own, right? Now, I am not letting my 10-year-old who forgets to put his shoes on when we go to the grocery store near my washing machine yet, but it's a goal, right? It's a goal. I'm like, how do we get to the store? And you're like, oh, Mom, I don't have on my shoes. I'm like, that's what? How do you get in the car and not have your shoes on? Anyway, it's a goal. It's an end goal. And the way I always look at this, I want to take us back to the scripture, because this end part has just been me sharing a little bit as a mom, but I want you to walk out of here today remembering that the power of Jesus rests on you, and we can take that power to empower the people around us to become the people that he wants them to be. And I think that you will begin to see a little bit of the struggle fade away as you are taking that challenge to do it. But no matter what you hear today, as we leave, I hope that you can kind of go back to yourself in this message whenever you, next time you feel that struggle and you're like, I don't know what to do. I am completely stuck here. And remember the truth that we have to be stuck so we can be still. And in those still moments, Jesus wants to enter, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants to empower you. And he wants to partner with you to do what he's asked you to do, whether it's in parenting or in your job or in your marriage or at school, whatever it is. That power rests on you. So when you're stuck, change your perspective. You're not stuck. You are still. And God, enter this moment with me. And I pray that that just sticks with you. I pray that a little bit of what I've learned this year as a mom encourages you and empowers you. And we're going to actually end today singing a song, because I want to give you a chance. I like to say preemptive prayers. Let's be ready. I want to give you a chance to be still today before you enter the craziness of the afternoon, where you really just want a nap, but they need you. So you keep going, right? Or maybe they need time alone and you go take a nap. Right? But I want to take a moment where you are still and you are asking God, hey, remind me of this truth the next time I go. Remind me that your power rests on me. Remind me that I don't do this hard thing alone. Remind me that you're with me and that you love me. And then thank him for it. So let's pray. God, we just thank you that you love us. No matter what, we thank you that you are with us, God. We thank you that your power rests on us, and that we can recognize our weaknesses so that we can remember your strength. God, the next time we feel that struggle as well, we remember so are you. And we're going to invite you into the moment, and we are going to walk out empowered so that we can love the people around us the way you would want us to. We thank you so much for how you walk with us always. And I pray that you just fall on this place and help us to be confident when we leave here that we don't do this alone. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.